In this lecture, we're going to look at Climate Change Levy, or CCL for short. This is an indirect tax controlled by customs and was introduced as part of the UK's legal obligations to reduce the emission of greenhouse gases. It is a levy that is imposed on taxable supplies of taxable commodities, and we'll come onto those in just a second. First, let's introduce the legislation. Much of this you'll find in Schedule 6 of the Finance Act 2000 and Statutory Instruments 7 and 838 of 2001. We've just said that it is a levy imposed on taxable supplies of taxable commodities. But what do these encompass? We'll take taxable supplies first. These are covered in paragraphs 5, 6 and 7 of Schedule 6. They generally cover supplies of electricity by electricity utilities, gas by gas utilities, and other supplies made in the course or furtherance of a business. Generally, a taxable supply is anything other than an exempt or excluded supply. Another type of taxable supply is covered in paragraph 23, subparagraph 1, and this talks about deemed supplies. This applies, for example, where an electricity utility does not supply the electricity to a customer, but supplies it to itself to light and heat its own administration offices. These are also taxable supplies and liable to the levy. What are taxable commodities? These are contained within paragraph 3 and cover electricity, gas, petroleum gas, coal and lignite, coke and petroleum coke. Certain commodities are not taxable commodities, and these are detailed in paragraph 3, subparagraph 2 of Schedule 6. These include hydrocarbon oil, road fuel gas and waste. The reason the first two are excluded is that they are liable to hydrocarbon oil duties, and you'll find information on them in the Hydrocarbon Oil Duties Act of 1979. As with all levies and taxes, there are some specific exclusions from this levy. You can read about these in paragraph 8 of Schedule 6. The main exclusions cover use for domestic and charitable purposes. If we take domestic use first, what constitutes use for domestic purposes? There are a number of situations listed in the legislation. We will take the most obvious one, which is use for a dwelling. In addition, use for a relevant residential purpose is classed as use for domestic purposes and therefore an excluded supply. This has the same type of meaning as for VAT, and further down in paragraph 8, you will see that a hospice and nunnery, for instance, are included as relevant residential places. Other domestic use would include supplies to a caravan or houseboat. If we now look at charitable use, this means use by the charity other than in the course of a business. However, if at least 60% is used for charity purposes, then the whole supply is treated as exempt. This 60% rule also applies where parts of premises are used for domestic and business purposes. Where less than 60% is used for either domestic or charitable purposes, then an apportionment needs to be made to calculate the CCL that is due. Certain supplies are exempt from the levy, and you will find details of these in paragraphs 11 to 21. These cover supplies to a person who intends to export the commodity outside the UK so that the commodity will not be burned within the UK. This is provided for in paragraph 11. Also covered in the same paragraph is where the commodity is supplied to someone else who doesn't burn it themselves but supplies it onto the end consumer. After all, you can only burn the commodity once, and therefore harm the environment once. So no CCL is due on the initial supply to the wholesaler. As CCL is a single-stage tax, customs interpret the legislation in such a way that all wholesale transactions of gas and electricity are outside the scope of the tax. They also refer to these types of supplies as upstream supplies. Being outside the scope of the levy means that there is no formal certification required from the customer. In addition, supplies to be used in certain forms of transport are exempt. For instance, to propel a train or other vehicle which is used to transport passengers. This is subject to satisfying certain conditions. You will find this in paragraph 12. Note that the exemption does not extend to electricity used to power, for example, the lights on the platform of a train station. Another example, given in paragraph 15, is supplies to combined heat and power stations. Again, this is subject to certain conditions. We'll take a look at combined heat and power stations in a bit more detail. Firstly, we need to understand what a combined heat and power station is. A combined heat and power station is a power station that produces electricity but also heats premises from, for example, the heat arising from the electricity it produces or steam produced from such heat. So, as well as selling the electricity it produces as it may also produce a lot of heat, and by using this heat to heat local premises, for example nearby buildings, this is environmentally beneficial. A combined heat and power station, or CHP for short, can either be fully exempt or partially exempt. In order to benefit from a total or partial CCL exemption, the power station is certified under the DECC-CHP Quality Assurance Program and is in possession of a Secretary of State Climate Change Levy Exemption Certificate, or LEC for short. The reason that these power stations receive CCL benefits is because they are energy efficient in their operation, and so they give significant fuel savings. They play a significant role in the reduction of CO2 emissions. CCL benefits can be obtained for both the taxable commodities supplied to the station as well as the electricity that the station itself produces. These are known as inputs and outputs respectively. Let's take a look at inputs first and when this power station can obtain complete relief from CCL on the supplies it receives. The CHP Quality Assurance Program determines what relief the power station is entitled to. Under the program, the Quality Index, or QI, and Power Efficiency, or PE, of the station is calculated from the fuel used, the electricity generated, and the heat supplied. For inputs, a power efficiency of at least 20% is normally needed to obtain complete relief. Put simply, this means that there is set criteria that if the power station meets, then it receives total relief on the supplies of taxable commodities it receives. Where the criteria is not met, there will not be total exemption, but partial exemption. The amount of relief depends on how close to the criteria the station is, i.e., the more energy efficient you are, the more relief you get. A little later on in this lecture, you'll see how the power station obtains the relief. It does so by the completion of forms PP10 and PP11. You'll learn more about these later when we take a look at other reliefs. Basically, the station performs a self-assessment of the relief it is entitled to, and this goes on the PP certificates. As this is an estimate, the station performs a reconciliation against the actual performance. If it turns out they have claimed too much relief, they are liable to register and pay the amount over to customs. So, what about the outputs of a station? Well, it's similar to what we've already looked at. Efficiency criteria is set, and if the power station meets it, then all of its outputs are exempt from CCL. This is the Quality Index, or QI, criteria threshold. If the QI criteria is not met, but the power efficiency or PE criteria is met, then partial relief is given. Another exemption is supplies that are not used as a fuel. This is covered in paragraph 18. Statutory Instrument 1715 of 2005 provides a schedule of non-fuel uses. Remember that one of the ideas behind the levy is to stop pollution and harmful CO2 emissions. If the fuel isn't used for burning, but is consumed within the process itself, then there are no harmful emissions. Look up the schedule now. You'll see a list of non-fuel uses, such as liquefied petroleum gas to be used as a propellant in aerosols. This is number 11 in the schedule. Or, as another example, electricity to be used in battery formation. This is number 3 in the list. Another exemption is contained in paragraph 18A, and this covers commodities used in prescribed recycling processes. Have a look at the paragraph and go back to the statutory instrument that we've just looked at for non-fuel uses. You will see in Schedule 2 of that instrument the prescribed recycling processes. You can see that it talks about the preparation of scrap metal for recycling. Another exemption is for electricity produced from renewable sources. You can see this in paragraph 19. It doesn't cover self-supplies, but would cover supplies to other persons, provided certain conditions are satisfied. We'll look at this exemption in a bit more detail. Firstly, the reason that this exemption is given is because the electricity is produced from sources other than fossil fuel, and this is beneficial to the environment. An example of electricity from a renewable source is electricity produced by wind. Electricity generated from coal mine methane used to qualify, but the exemption was removed from the 1st of November 2008. Other examples include the following: hydroelectric power up to 10 megawatts, tidal power, wave energy, and energy crops. A generator of electricity has to obtain accreditation from Ofgem for renewable source electricity they generate. Ofgem issues them with levy exemption certificates, or LECs. When the electricity is sold to a supplier, the LEC is transferred with it. This is part of the evidence that a supplier uses to prove that they have supplied renewable source electricity. The supply of electricity will be exempt from the levy where the supply is made under a contract with his customer that contains a renewable source declaration. This declaration is given by the supplier. This declaration means that in a certain period, called an averaging period, the amount of electricity supplied will not exceed the amount of renewable source electricity acquired or generated. An averaging period can last a maximum of 2 years. If the supplier calculates that the electricity supplied has exceeded the amount of renewable source electricity acquired or generated, then he is liable to register and account for the levy. The idea behind climate change levy is to tax the final use of the commodity. Therefore, if a coal mine sells the coal to a wholesaler, who in turn sells it to the final customers, the levy should not be charged twice. Paragraph 21 provides for regulations to be made by customs to avoid a double charge. These are contained in Regulation 34 onwards of the CCL Regulations 2001. The wholesaler will notify the coal mine on a certificate PP11, which enables the coal mine to sell without charging CCL. The wholesaler will charge CCL as appropriate to the end customers. Remember, we said above that customs interpret the legislation to mean that wholesale or upstream supplies of gas and electricity are outside the scope of CCL and that no formal certification is required. Technically, wholesale supplies of coal might be treated by customs in the same way. Where that is the case, the PP11 would not be needed. For the avoidance of doubt, some wholesalers still use the PP11 to ensure that they receive their supplies free of CCL. We have seen so far that CCL is due on the taxable supplies of taxable commodities. In order to account for the levy correctly, we need to identify the time of supply. This is given in paragraph 25 onwards of Schedule 6. Paragraph 26 covers electricity and gas in a gaseous state supplied by electricity or gas utilities. The supply is deemed to take place when a CCL accounting document, or CLAD, is issued by the person making the supply. The accounting document is issued by the supplier within 15 weeks of supplying the electricity or gas to a small-scale user, or within 6 weeks to someone who is not a small-scale user. The CLAD must detail the following: the quantity of the electricity or gas supplied, the period during which it was supplied, the supplier's name and address, the customer's name and address, and a reference number used by the supplier for the customer. If a CLAD is not issued, then paragraph 28 provides that the supply is treated as taking place at the end of the respective 15-week or 6-week period. For most electricity and gas utility supplies, the issue of an electricity bill or gas bill is in reality the climate change levy accounting document.